no gas. I done brought my car, my boy, and his heat.
That's Sonny Boy Williamson, the father of the modern American harmonica blues, who played and inspired with the greats. And we wouldn't have the modern American harmonica blues without Sonny Boy Williamson, born on this day. We now jump into the question of Common Core. There's going to be a forum taking place hosted by the PTA Council of Howard County this weekend, Sunday, December the 8th, from 5 to 8 p.m. in Fulton, Maryland. The event will be held in the auditorium of Reservoir High School at 11550 Skaggsville Road in Fulton, Maryland. Public is welcome. Many major folks around education will be involved in that discussion. We're involved today with Dr. Sandra Stotsky, who's a member of Common Core's Validation Committee. She was from 2009-2010 and Professor Emerita of Education at the University of Arkansas. Welcome, Dr. Stotsky. Good to have you with us.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Good morning. And Dr. Morna McDermott is with us in studio. One of the administrators for United Opt Out, has been in education and teacher education for 25 years, an organizer of Occupy the Department of Education. Morna, good to have you in the studio as well.
Thank you for having me.
And you all can join us here at 410-319-8888. Write to us here at steinershow@gmail.com. You can log on to our Facebook pages. Tweet at Mark Steiner. What are your thoughts on Common Core? Let me just talk to you both about, very quickly, start with you, Dr. Stotsky, and then go to Dr. McDermott. For our listeners, before we talk about why there's such an uproar against Common Core and what it means, what does Common Core stand for you? Why do you think there's a controversy around it? What does it stand for? What does its implementation mean for you and for our education system?
Briefly, let me just say that Common Core is a set of standards for national use in mathematics and in English language arts. It was developed, both sets of standards were developed by two private groups in Washington, D.C. back in 2009 and 2010.
I just wanted you to describe for a moment what the importance of Common Core is, why you think that it is so critical to the future of public education.
It's very important for not only what's in those standards, but all of the strings that are attached to them, because they have been supported by the USDE, the United States Department of Education, by the president, by an awful lot of other groups who don't seem to have understood that the math standards don't prepare anyone for STEM careers, science, technology, engineering, and math. And it's very important for others to know that they were designed to be called college-ready standards, because those who pass a test in grade 11 will be able to take freshman college courses for credit, no matter how low their score might have been when they passed this college readiness test.
And so, Morna McDermott, it seems to me, let me say this question is directly about Common Core. We've had these debates before on the show. This one leading up because of the conversation taking place in Howard County on Sunday. But the logic would seem to be to make sense to have a Common Core curriculum around science and math and history and English, so American kids have a sense of who they are and who we are.
Well, going off of what Dr. Stotsky already mentioned, to really understand how the standards came to be, to answer your question, a shorthand version of the history, if you go all the way back to the 1980s, we had a study, in quotes, my little air fingers, called A Nation at Risk. And what it said was, we're failing, the sky is falling. And what it did is it springboarded a myth that we've been carrying for about 20 years, that new standards and new tests are going to be the solution to our educational woes, that they are going to be what lifts all children up to some level of success. We pushed it forward further with No Child Left Behind, which was the first federal mandate for testing and federal intrusion into, you know, sort of the state decision making. And when No Child Left Behind failed, which it did, we're not all we haven't met all the standards by 2014, which was the goal. And now we've raced to the top. And the problem with it is whether or not the standards are good on an individual level is going to depend on the child, the classroom, the teacher. We could debate that ad infinitum. What we do know is the things that really elevate children's success in schools is not testing them more. It's not some new fashion of rigorous standards, which these are highly questionable as those, because these were written by testing companies, not by teachers. and it diverts the money that would really go towards helping children who need the most help in schools. It diverts millions and billions of dollars away from services and personnel and programs like art and PE and music and the things that we know and we have known for decades that actually help children succeed. If you go to a school in an economically challenged community or in a quote-unquote failing school and you go to a child and you say, what do you need to be successful or what do you want? They're not going to say, I want to compete with Finland and China. That's really important to me. Or please test me more. They're going to say that they want a curriculum that is meaningful, that meets them where they're at and takes them where they need to go. And you cannot detach the Common Core from the new round of high-stakes standardized testing to which it is attached. And all of this marketability comes from the corporations, the corporate interest, and the nonprofits that designed Common Core and the testing market to begin with.
Dr. Sosky, please, I'd like to hear your response to that.
I would like to simply add to what she says and to respond to your very good question, which was, isn't it useful for a big country to have some common math and science standards? Yes, it might be if those were first-class standards, but what we have in Common Core are standards that strangle a lot of aspects of education and are not first class, and for some of the reasons that you just heard, they have a one-size-fits-all approach towards all kids from K to 12. It would be useful to have a Common Core in math and science if we had had them developed by people who understood what should be studied in K-12, but we didn't. They were designed to have a very low ceiling to enable the bottom to get closer to the middle and to lower the top. That's not what this country needed. It needed to, as I did in Massachusetts, produce standards that would enable all children in all groups to improve in their academic achievement.
Yeah, and I'd like to jump on what Dr. Stotsky just said, that it's one of the things that frustrates me as a social justice educator, which I've been for 20 years, is that it uses the name of civil rights and equity to promote itself, when in fact what it's doing is it's diverting our attention and our money away from the issues that confront those schools and those children that are struggling the most. You are now spending millions and billions of dollars for new tests, new standards, new teacher preparation, new technological infrastructure in schools that don't have nurses, that don't have wraparound services, that don't have enough highly qualified teachers, that are cutting art and PE and music and these things that we know help children learn better and stay in school longer and be more successful. We're taking money, we're robbing money from those services to pay Pearson Publishing Company to deliver the PARC assessments, to pay Achieve to deliver the Common Core. We're handing money that schools need and children need over to these corporations.
But let me talk about the opposition to this around America, and but also talk about what needs to be done then. I mean, because there were 12 states that really kind of stood up to opposition to this, and they were all states that were with Republican leadership of education. They opposed it because they were based in the Tea Party. They were based to get, they despised anything that President Barack Obama even tried to do, whether you agree with what he's doing or not. And that's where the eruption came from.
No, actually, the eruption has started at the ground, grassroots level with parents. There has been a deliberate strategy to make people think that the Tea Party began this rebellion against Common Core. I can say from speaking in about 20 states, and I have testified before legislative committees in about 20 states in the past year, that most of the opposition has come from alert parents who suddenly began to notice what was happening in their children's schools. Many of them, by the way, were Catholic parents whose kids were in Catholic schools and couldn't understand why their Catholic schools had even adopted Common Core. It had nothing to do with the Tea Party. For all those parents, who are a lot younger, by the way, than most Tea Party activists are. I mean, these are people with kids in the schools. They don't have gray hair. Maybe some of them were grandparents. But what I saw were parents, and they were the ones coming up to me at meetings, supporting me, helping to pay my travel expenses because I never charge for speaking wherever I speak. All I need is to have travel expenses paid for. And I've had the hat passed out at meetings of parents who have wanted to have someone help them understand what the hell was going on in their kids' classrooms. Why were teachers introducing Common Core when the teachers didn't understand what it was? Superintendents didn't understand what it was. They were just giving the same old talking points that they've been told from on high. So the opposition has come from parents, and the media has simply bought this line that it was the Tea Party because they're easy to demonize.
Yeah. And I agree. I agree. I am not a member of the Tea Party.
No, I know you're not.
Not even.
And I'm not either.
I know you're not as well.
I never met one.
Not even remotely close. When we sit on the panel on at Howard County, they're going to have to seat me to the left of the table. And I know that as somebody who's worked in education for, 20-some-odd years and who's studied curriculum and curriculum theory, there's been a lot of opposition to top-down, federally mandated, corporate-driven approach to education from educators and scholars who you'd call, left of center. I don't know what else to use. I don't want to say progressive because if Gates is a progressive, then I'm totally on the other side of the cafeteria from him. But we, me and other people who I would identify with in that camp, Henry Giroux and Peter McLaren and Bell Hooks and Maxine Green, when we saw this coming, said this is just another disaster waiting to happen. This is another effort to privatize public education because when you have Common Core, you're handing over decision-making through the federal government and peel away the layer of the federal government to these corporations that are going to be making the decisions, that will be holding the children's data, that will be driving the tests. It's another attempt at turning public education as a public institution of a cornerstone of our democracy into the hands of these private interests. It's going to drive the edutech company to deliver more and more things online. It's driving Park and Pearson and Wireless Generation, which is owned in part by Rupert Murdoch and Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. All of these corporations and quote unquote nonprofits have a lot of money to be made in this.
Let me ask this question though. I guess what I'm really like to explore with you, and I hope you all have a chance to explore it in Howard County on Sunday. I'm sorry that I could not moderate the discussion. I was asked to, but I could not, so I said we'd have this discussion leading up to it. What does have to happen? I mean, I harken back, Dr. Stotsky, to early conversations I had 18 years ago on the air here, 20 years ago, around the question of Common Core with Edie Hirsch.
Oh, yes, and I have always been a supporter of a Hirsch kind of curriculum that comes out of core knowledge. Unfortunately, the word core is everywhere, so it's easy to get confused.
It's been ruined.
So that's the question I want to ask. So what is it where we do you both think, maybe you might have different ideas about this, but what we should be after? One of the things I got from reading Edie Hirsch and for interviewing Edie Hirsch was, and I will admit that there's a lot about what he wrote that I liked. I think that the idea of having kind of a common body of knowledge that Americans can put their hands around together,
exactly,
as people is important, though I think he left a lot out. I think it was much too towards kind of white writers and white authors and men. But other than that, I think you can build off of that.
The idea was a sound one, that kids need a body of information, and some of it's got nothing to do with ethnocentricity. Where the continents are, how many there are, doesn't matter whether you're white, black, yellow, or pink. This is common knowledge that all kids should have somewhere in the elementary school in a geography class. So that was a part of what should have happened in our schools. But what Edie Hirsch did help to point to by some of his other later writings, and what I have been talking about, is that your education schools in this country have become a very negative influence on the curriculum. They turned to be anti-curriculum, anti-intellectual, anti-achievement. They were interested in strategies and processes and left the field wide open for these corporate influences who've come in saying we get kids graduating from high school who basically know nothing, don't know how to do anything. So the corporate interests then walk in saying we need to repair this crisis in American education, but no one traces it back to the teacher training that teachers were given, which has been so damaging to public education for close to 50 years, by the way. This is something that's going on since I was teaching elementary school many years ago. So you're asking the question, where does Hirsch fit in? Hirsch came in about 30 years after this damage finally became apparent and said, you need to have a common curriculum for most kids because that's what makes kids able to understand what they're reading when they get to high school. And you've had ed schools that are against anything that would be taught substantively. And this is where Common Core now comes in, with an English language arts curriculum that's basically almost all skills, no content except for a couple of standards in the high school that I put into it when I was there on the validation committee. But that's it.
Yeah,
so
and
almost no content for the schools. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, we
have about a minute left here, so take us to break at the minute, and we'll let you finish and we'll come back.
Okay, I'm going to read a quote and take you to break. This is from David Coleman. This is a quote. The Common Core standards aim to change everything, and for innovators and entrepreneurs, they may. While the simultaneous implementation of the Common Core standards in 46 states and D.C., there is potential for a truly national market. So if that gives you an idea of who this is going to be serving.
So we'll take a break and come back with that. We want to hear your thoughts at 410-319-8888. We'd really like to have your ideas. I mean, especially these are your kids that are going to our schools across the state of Maryland and all the other listening areas, Pennsylvania, Delaware, Washington, Virginia. What do you think? 410-319-8888. We'll be right back.
Rock to the west, but she's the gal that I love best. Tootie fruity, home rooty. Tootie fruity, home rooty. Tootie fruity.
I will not take him back to Carolus. He'll go to Palestine with me. Or right here on this ship, we will die together.
The New York Times says, the best blockbuster of the year. Dazzling, eye-filling, nerve-tingling, rips the heart.
You can't fight the whole British Empire with 600 people. It isn't possible.
How many Minutemen did you have at Concord the day they fired the shot heard around the world?
I don't know.
77.
Welcome back. That was a clip from The Exodus, the movie, because this is the birthday of Otto Preminger. He was born in 1905, who was the Austrian-born director of that 1960 film. And when we went out with Little Richard, who was born on this day in 1932, the father of rock and roll. So we are celebrating all that. And we are here with Dr. Sandra Stotsky, member of Common Core's Validation Committee from 2009-2010. She's Professor Emerita of Education from the University of Arkansas. Dr. Morna McDermott is a Professor of Education at Towson University and one of the administrators for the United Opt Out Project and has been involved in teacher education for the last 25 years. And you will come to your call in a minute, Cindy, 410-319-8888. Why don't you finish what you were saying before we go back to Sandra Stotsky?
Sure. I want to quote Stephen Krashen, Dr. Stephen Krashen, who's a professor emeritus at University of Southern California, because he says it better than me. He says, the rationale for the standards and the national tests is the belief that our schools are broken. The only evidence is our mediocre scores on international tests, but middle-class children who go to well-funded schools do very well on international tests, scoring at the top of the world. Our overall scores are unimpressive because we have so many children living in poverty, about 22%, the highest percent of all industrialized countries. This shows that the problem in education is poverty, not a lack of standards and tests, and not teaching quality. Poverty means food deprivation, lack of health care, and little access to books. The best tests and the most inspiring teachers will have little impact when children are hungry, sick, and have little access to books.
I'm going to come back. That point's important. I was about to bring that point up. But, Sandra, let me get you your comment as well. I'm going to come back to this question that some people are arguing now very strongly in articles I've been reading, that the real issue is poverty that's underlying the crisis in public education, not public education itself.
Poverty is certainly one reason for children not doing well in school, but the other reason is a school-based reason, and it's the teacher. And that's why we can see that what Common Core is doing, and what the Race to the Top agreements were all about was an evaluation framework for assessing teachers. They are the only ones to be held accountable for kids' scores. This is grossly unfair to teachers because it takes three kinds of people to get kids doing well in school: their parents, their teachers, and the kids themselves. And we somehow have focused solely on the teacher, as if the teacher in the school is the only thing that matters in getting kids to do well. Anyone who's ever had kids knows that this is simply not all the teachers to be held accountable for. But that's what the USED has decided to do because it doesn't know how to make anything else work in the schools. By the way, this is a serious issue.
Yes, it is.
The USED going back over 150 years. The federal government in this country has had a singularly ineffective record in doing anything to improve students' achievement since the Land Grant Act of 1862,
so
when it founded universities. That's it. That's the last time the federal government ever did anything that was useful.
So, but before, that's an interesting point I want to jump off on. Let me go to a caller who has a thought about that and hear an Arne Duncan quote so we conclude this conversation on that note and then come back to Mourna McDermott here. 410-319-8888. Cindy, you're on the air.
Oh, thanks for taking my call. Thank you all for what you're doing. 2 points, and Dr. Stotsky almost just hit it. We're in America. There's a role for the federal government versus the state governments. A set of standards is one thing. They are not inherently bad. But if the federal government is involved in incentivizing through strings so that the states comply with a national directive, that is unlawful in America. Number two, this is a great, this whole issue with Common Core, this is a great opportunity for people across the country to be considering what is the role of public education. Is it to be academic or is it to be job prep? So that's all I have, and I hope you all will comment on that.
And we also just had, so I'll let you start, Mourna. We just had a tweet coming in that said, turning schools into worker factories seems ill-advised. But, Mourna.
Yes, and this goes back to some of the critiques that a lot of people are going back to that idea that this is, you know, sort of a Tea Party-led thing. And I think the people who want to push Common Core like to use that because they think it's an easier way to discredit the movement. But I have been highly critical of teaching or treating schools as factories for all children of any income for 20, 25 years. A lot of academics out there, educators out there, have been highly critical of that. And the money that we're using that could be going to things that really, really help children or creating meaningful, rich, culturally relevant standards that help them be successful in life is going to new teacher preparation, new tests, new technology, new materials, new data collection systems, which just the data collection and the privacy issue around who's going to own our children's data is a whole other issue. That
Oh, yes. Yeah,
I don't even know if we have time for that, but that's a hot button issue.
I think we have to come back to this after you all have your session on Sunday to really kind of play do this for an hour, not for like 35 minutes, because I think it's that critical. Jerry just wrote in, Jerry Peek wrote in, I love the show, thank you. Ironically, we believe more in concocted standards than in actual evidence that shows what students need to achieve, what people need to learn and achieve. This is the core of why we established the Baltimore Youth Initiative High School. We are eager to share our local and scale learning with the education community. Well, Jerry, we look forward to having you on, and we'll talk about that. There's this quote from Arne Duncan that started part of the explosion here, the most recent explosion. It's fascinating to me, he says, that some of the pushback against Common Core is coming from sort of white suburban moms who all of a sudden their child isn't as brilliant as they thought they were, and their school isn't quite as good as they thought they were, and that's pretty scary.
Yeah, this is very important because supposedly this whole movement, Common Core, is state-led, and yet Duncan can't keep himself back from popping into the picture all the time to show that it's really Duncan-led with Gates money behind him. And I think people have caught on now that what he's really trying to do is say that, oh, these standards are so wonderful and rigorous that these white suburban moms, all of a sudden he's discrediting now a good number of the parents out there, that these white suburban moms are simply tiger moms
who can't accept the fact that their kids aren't as brilliant as they once thought they were.
So before
it's as if he knows what's best for other people's children and the mothers don't.
I have a spoiler alert for Arnie as a white suburban soccer mom. I never thought my children were that brilliant to begin with, so he's not really disappointing me in any way.
So let me play his explanation for this, and we'll close out the conversation with a quick comment from our two guests. This is Arnie Duncan.
Well, I think my wording, my phrasing was a little clumsy, and I apologize for that. But my basic point, obviously this was an hour-long conversation, is that we want to prepare all children to be successful in a globally competitive workforce. And so many of our children, not just in inner cities, but in suburban communities, I think aren't getting the education they need and deserve. And so I was challenging the state leaders there to do a better job of communicating with parents across the board, letting them know how important higher standards are, but what it takes for all of us to work to achieve those higher standards.
Morna, closing thoughts on Arnie Duncan's thoughts, and then Dr. Stotsky for her thoughts.
Well, I have to springboard off of what Dr. Stotsky says, because she's more interesting than Arnie Duncan to me. but this idea, if you really want to know who wrote the Common Core and whose interests it served, all you have to do is follow the money. Dr. Stotsky mentioned Gates, who is, like the fog that I'm looking out the window at right now. He's, his money's everywhere. But the American Legislative Exchange Commission, who is, supposedly opposed to the Common Core, so many of the corporations that funded its development, including Lumina, Rupert Murdoch, the Walton Foundation, State Farm, Eli Broad Foundation, they all spent millions and billions of dollars to design this thing. And then if you look at, who's going to receive the money on the back end of this coming through Race to the Top federal involvement is going to be those same corporations. So look at who designed it, look who paid for it, and look who's profiting. And nowhere in there are you going to see children, parents, teachers, or schools.
I would also like to add, because my focus has always been on the academic aspects of these standards, and I have been consistently criticizing them because that had been the focus of whatever I did in Massachusetts to produce some of the best sets of standards in the country, and that was why the so-called Massachusetts Education Miracle came about. But you have to also look at who was on the committees to develop these standards. And for the original standards development, there was no literature professor, no high school English teacher, and we had no high school math teacher to begin with on the original committee. They weren't interested in the content of these standards. It was mainly testing companies and their representatives who are developing these standards, because they're the ones benefiting.
And they're the authors, aren't they? They're the ones who actually wrote the test standards, were achieved, Student Achievement Partners Act, and the College Board. They wrote
them.
That's
right. So that you look at who was there and why they were chosen, we still don't know to this day, because it's two private corporations that were totally non-transparent. I've been on a lot of civic committees in my home community. Nothing like this would have ever happened because of sunshine laws. But there was no way on the validation committee I could get any of the information I wanted, because these were private corporations who did what they want and wanted it at that time and still do. And you've got the USED supporting them.
Well, Dr. Sanchez-Sosky, it's really fascinating to have you on this program, given that you're on these committees and what you can expose and talk to us about. I appreciate you being part of the show today. Thank you so much for joining us. And Dr. Morna McDermott, always good to have you in the studio.
Thank
Professor
you. Good seeing you again, Mark.
Good to have you here. Reminding you can join this Common Core Forum hosted by the PTA Council of Howard County and the Howard County Education Association Teachers Union on Sunday, December the 8th from 5 to 8 p.m. in Fulton, Maryland. Go to Reservoir High School, which is at 11550 Skaggsville Road in Fulton, Maryland. And we'll have all that information on our website at steinershow.org. Take a quick break. Come right back at looking at that Washington team and why they will not change their name. Going out with Little Richard, Tutti Frutti, the father of rock and roll.
We can't help it. The girl can't help it. Won't you kindly be aware? The girl can't help it. The girl can't help it. It's a mess. Become well done. Can't help it, girl, can't help it. She made grandpa feel like